purpose of the exercise was, what can you give in what format? But before we just start, there were a few very good questions as I went around speaking to people. Now, one thing you want to do is you want to make sure that someone in your group actually knows where I am. Because there are a lot of questions that you have in your head and you want to answer those questions answered, and if you don't know where I am, you can't get those answers. Is that simple? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to know where I am and not go to the pool and the back and down to Kinko's and sit out there because it's too hard for me to turn up. Okay, so there were some good questions. Kathy had some good questions which all of you will want to know the answers to. So here we go.
All right, two questions. First one is, I did a hard copy newsletter 15 years ago. I found it was extremely successful, but it cost me $1,000 for a mailing to 1,000 people. And I didn't want to spend that kind of money, so all my material's been virtual.
Okay. What has the internet made people? Cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I can do it for free now, so why should I pay? And here's the answer to that. How do you get people to pay for something when they're used to getting it free? Is that a good question or what? Okay? So here's what you do. Now, just for your information, after this masterclass, we have 1,500 people. Let's do some little math here. 1,500 people on the list. 1,700, actually. So 1,700 people on the list. There's about X number. There's 30-something in the room here. That leaves how many? 1,670. What are we going to do? Just let them die?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so what do we do? We have to mail out to them, right? How much is it going to cost to produce a CD and some information that we're going to send out?
Well, the CD's a quarter apiece.
It's actually more expensive than that when you start to print and do all those things. It comes out to, a lot of people think, oh, you can just get one from Kinko's or whatever, but that's not the way you want to brand it. See, packaging is important. So it's going to cost you around $2.50 at least, if not more, maybe $3 or $4 per CD. Okay, so that's $4 per CD. Now, do you want to send the CD without any information? You want to send a sales pitch, right? Something that they can buy from, an order form, etc. How much is that going to cost you? A couple of dollars? Two or three? Yeah? So that's $7. Oh, sorry. $3, so that's seven in all. So 4 plus 3, 7. You've got to put it in an envelope, and you've got to have stamps on it. How much is that going to cost you if it's a...
$2.80 if it's...
If it's, yeah, so it's a $1.80, so that's $2. How much is that?
$9.
Now, if you multiply $16.70 by $9, how much is that? I'll tell you how much it is because we'll do it by $10, and it's $16,700. Are you willing to take that risk?
No.
You don't need to sell a lot. You need to sell about 8 of these versions before you get $16,000. Why? You're not in the business of risk, are you? Are you in the business of risk? Are you risk takers? You're not supposed to be risk takers. You're supposed to do stuff which gets you a return on investment. So, how do you go about it? What we'll do is we'll take the first hour of this session and we'll put it on a CD. And we'll say, you didn't attend the Brain Alchemy Masterclass, but you sure as hell wanted to, right? Okay, how would you like to get the first hour absolutely free? What do you say?
Sure,
okay, so what do they do? What's the first thing? They opt in, okay? The second thing is value. Now, we need to pay for shipping and handling.
Okay, so hold it, back up. Okay, so you're going to send this via email first?
No, we want them to listen to it. So it's shipping and handling. You were talking about physical.
Okay,
so it's going to be physical. It's not going to be email because we know the value of packaging. So it's shipping and handling is going to be how much? What's the price?
$2.
No, what's the whole price?
Oh.
$9. So what's the price of shipping and handling?
$9.95.
What profit do you make on it? 95 cents. How much is 95 cents into 1,000 people? Let's say 1,000 say yes. It's $1,000. How much have you lost? How much do you potentially gain? Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm still lost.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you send them the CD and the mailing and say, send me $10? Or do you
say,
here's a postcard and email?
No. Okay, let me explain what I would do. What I would do is I would say, how would you like to get 1 hour of the masterclass on CD in your home?
How are you going to let them know that? How do you ask them that?
Through
question?
Email.
That's the question. That's the question.
Because that's how they came in the first place. If they came in through regular mail, then I would speak to them through regular mail. You speak to them through the medium that they came in through.
That's what I was asking. That part wasn't clear.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. What's the next question?
Oh, the other one was my 99% of my mail list is email addresses, no hard mailing copy.
Yeah.
How do I convert it?
Same way. You say you've got this fabulous product that you would love them to have, and if they'd pay just $9.95, you'd give it to them. Or you could say, you know what, I plan to give you this CD in the future, so for now you can have this MP3 file and report online, but I want to send you a CD in the future. And you get their mailing address. You have to just give them a reason why.
Do you say shipping and handling $10, or do you just say the cost for you right now is $9.95?
Shipping and handling, it doesn't. Shipping and handling is fine. I mean, you'd believe, I mean, it would be fine for shipping and handling, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $9.95 is not a big deal to get 1 hour of information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd pay more than that. So, and we've already built a trust factor. Yes?
How many do you think will ask for that?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't know how many people will ask for it, but it doesn't matter. Anything over one, even if it does not one person, there is no break even. You've made a profit from the first go. It's 95 cents every time someone says yes.
He doesn't print it and put it together until he's done.
That's right. Yeah.
He's got Steve in the recording equipment, so that's his upfront cost. But he doesn't have to do any of that stuff until someone says, okay, send it to me.
That's right.
Here's my check for $2,000.
That's right. And there's already home study versions that have been bought before, so there's no problem with that already. I mean, it's already in process here.
But on the CD, there better be a pitch.
Absolutely. Okay. That's a very good point. What Sid said is on the CD, there better be a pitch. There will be a pitch on the CD, but there will be a pitch accompanying the CD. This is how a salesman acts. Imagine you were going to sell something to someone. Would you go into the... So I'm going to sell something to, say, Peggy. And I come to Peggy and say, you know what? We've got this great product. Here's a brochure. I'm off. Mm-hmm. Would a salesman do that?
No.
Why? Because they need to get a message across. They need to tell the full story. Your full story sits where? In your covering letter. Anything that you send without a covering letter is like a salesman walking through the door, dropping something, and walking away. If you don't send a covering letter, you notice when you get a mail how you always read, you don't read the contents, but you read the covering letter? How you always, when you're going to start off reading an educational package or anything you want, you start to read the covering letter? Covering letter is the most important thing in your package. The most important thing. So that's a very good question. Thank you for that, Sid. Good one.
Yeah.
And thank you for your questions as well. As I said, I have the answers. You need to get me the questions. Okay? Okay, let's do some interactive now. So we'll take five. Yes, Jack.
I was going to ask this question yesterday. I asked now, Sean. In our business, I have a lot of access to a lot of information and knowledge that I could put into a package to help train other people to do what I do. How do I convert the knowledge from other people in a product that really can understand and simplified without getting in trouble with plagiarism laws and stuff like that? Like taking all the complicated regulations and rules and stuff, like what you've done with all the stuff you gather all the years, and make it into a simple, understandable program, let's make it into a system for them. How does one go about doing that?
Are you saying that you don't want to get in trouble with the law because of...
Yes.
Okay. That's easy? Okay.
Yes.
They're
the publications.
Are they government publications and private publishers?
Okay. You want to answer that, Sid?
Yeah, that's really easy. All you have to do to print anything that someone else has written is acknowledge them that they... Yeah, yeah. Just index it, acknowledge it, do whatever. But, you know, you just can't have it be yours, that's all. And it doesn't, you know, and it looks like yours even.
We've actually done that in your book. If you notice, there are two acknowledgments. One to Jim Collins. Jim Collins is a very good, you should read, everyone should read this book. It's called Good to Great, and you should read it several times. And the first line in the book, it says, good is the enemy of great. And that's the truth. Okay? You want to move ahead in life, you have to stop being just good, you know. And the second one was Robert Cialdini's book, which is Persuasion, another very, very good book. So you want to read these two books because they're very good. Robert Cialdini is spelled as C-I-A. I know everyone knows how to spell Robert, so I'll just do C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I. I'll say that again. C-I-A like CIA, FBI, L-D-I.
And what's the name of his book?
Persuasion.
Persuasion?
Persuasion, I think, yeah. But even if you just search for his name, you'll find his name online. So, okay.
Sean?
Yeah.
Just one thing about copyright law, and I'm not an attorney or anything, but I, what I've noticed, though, is that there are limits on what you can copy.
That's right.
You can't copy over X amount of words,
that's
for example.
Not, but that's not a law, because I've had to research that.
Okay,
writing.
Good.
You're not going to get sued under, it's with 200 words, whatever, for the whatever it is. But it's not really a law. It's just that everyone, the publishers close their eyes to it. They actually want you to quote books because it's good publicity and someone's going to go buy that book if the name of, if it's all carefully quoted and it's careful and the reference is there. But there's, it's not really a law is my understanding. It's just that they close their eyes to it if it's under a certain number of words.
Yeah, as long as you're not quoting chapters, you're fine. You know, I mean, a small paragraph should be...
Right.
Yeah. Listen. The one thing you want to know is you definitely want to check what you're doing before you do it. And let's not get into an area where none of us are experts in. So,
actually, I am.
He is an expert. Okay.
You're right.
The
that's good.
I just want to make a quick point. There are copyright laws. There's no magic number of words. It's a big and complicated subject, but it doesn't mean it's impenetrable. But it would take a long time to talk about. If anybody has copyright, trademark, or intellectual property questions, you can catch me at a break sometime. I can help you
and
out.
And one thing that'll work every single time is if you write to the author and ask them, can I quote you and have references back to your site, to your book, etc., and the author says, yes, you can, and that's the end. And most authors will say,
The author will refer you to the publisher.
Okay, if they're published. Yeah, if they're published. Okay, let's move on. Come on. Now, what we had to do was, what can you give, when can you give it? The point I'm trying to make here is that sales is not a matter of what sales managers do. So all of us have, at some point in time, either been exposed to the concept of a sales manager, which is you went out there, so sometimes you're your own sales manager. You go out there, and you meet with a client, and you come back, and you say, what did you sell? And most sales managers do that. You go out, you come back, and they say, so what did you sell? And you say, nothing. Okay, this is how sales actually works. It's a series of check marks. Click, 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 click. At some point, the customer says, yes, I'll have it. That is the whole concept of the trust. So which is why you need to know how often. So if you've got one book that you're selling, you need to have mini reports or little somethings that you can keep touching the customer at points right through. So maybe once a month, twice a month, whatever, so that eventually they end up buying the first book, then the first product, and then other products subsequently. Are you clear what I'm saying? You have to have, so you don't have to have the big thing that you give them and then they forget about it. You have to have all these little things, like a series. That's the how often. It's very important to have the how often, because it's the often that sells. It's the trust that sells. It's the knowing you that sells. It's not the other way around. It's not the content that sells. The content helps. Content is very important, but eventually it's the how often. Because a customer may click on the first one or the seventh one or the 17th one. You've got to make sure that that customer is hearing from you all the time till they say no and they unsubscribe and then you say hallelujah. The bad ones are gone and the good ones stay. Yes. Can we have the mic here? Okay. We need to get some examples so we can go for that long awaited break.
We were talking earlier about doing the 30-page is the product you're going to sell.
Yes.
A portion of that as the freebie handed out.
Yes.
Do I do several portions? Or if I do a report like, are you making these seven traffic-generating mistakes?
Yes.
Would it be better for me to do an autoresponder series with seven?
Autoresponders have kind of died with people. I mean, I don't know. You may want to test how it works for your own business. But people are a little sick and tired of autoresponders.
Or do I do like this report and several other reports then?
Yeah, you probably want to make it like a newsletter. You say you're basically signing you up to a newsletter, not an autoresponder,
so they
actually feel that you communicate. You can still put them on the autoresponder.
Got it. Thank you.
But they'll get it every month. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, let's take some examples. Who hasn't said a lot in the last 2 days? You want to go, Stephanie? She doesn't want to go. Okay. Let's go with Gary. Gary, you okay?
My secretary.
Susan.
Okay.
Who wants to go?
No, it's all right.
To share what?
To share what can you give and how often? Here, Mike.
Okay.
You okay? Go, Susan.
We have. What I talked about before, the software.
Yes.
We can do that, but that's only a one-time giveaway.
Yes.
Last week when I did a roundtable discussion on the port quality things, there were so many different aspects to that, the genetics, the meat science, the consumer issues and things like that. Those can all be broken out into separate little reports.
You got it.
And so then I have something to send out for the next 6, 8, or 10 months.
Yes.
And a direct mail, because I don't have email addresses for producers. But
yep.
Anyway, so I have that for direct mail. And then also, like 2 times a year, like our geneticist and our veterinarian present white papers at these national conventions of swine veterinarians and geneticists, whatever. Anyway, I can use their white papers as a quarterly thing that I can offer as a download. But I do have email addresses for all the swine veterinarians.
Okay.
So I can email them an announcement about this white paper is available for download or something like that, and possibly do that quarterly or every 6 months.
So swine is a good word in your office, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking, do we have to censor this?
No. No, I won't actually talk about the end product. That's okay.
Okay. You want to go? Who? That was a good point. Just this one. You?
Then go.
Who is it?
Oh.
Okay, I just Mike wanted the mic. Just before Mike goes on, that's a very important point. The point is, say for instance we chose the concept of color. Okay, color is color, right? So, she says no. Let's for a second find out why this person is saying no. What is this person's name?
Terry.
This person's name is Terry.
Terry,
and I'm that nasty little designer that keeps popping up with stuff like, no, color is very important. It evokes certain emotions.
Okay, here's the question, Terry. Terry, here's the question. How many different facets or different aspects are there to color? Come on, let's just get out a list.
Okay, emotion.
How does color cause emotion or change your emotion? What else?
It can stimulate hunger.
How does color create hunger?
It can stimulate sales.
Sales? Now, that guy will come up with something else in the corner, I'm sure of it. The Jeff. Okay, what else?
It can create a sense of trust.
Okay, trust. Can you start to see how many topics are coming up on one single topic, which is just color? You know that opt-in report that we just talked about? That was one paragraph in Claude Hopkins' book. We wrote 20 pages on it. You can take one little topic and expand on it and then grow from there. You don't have to write whole books. Okay? Thanks for that, Terry.
Yeah, I've been publishing a weekly e-zine called Profitable Venture Tactics, where I pound home the idea of writing stuff down, because the problem in business is that people don't write things down, and most businesses are run entirely by tribal knowledge. And so anyway, I've got 75 issues out there now, and they all kind of deal with different ideas of how you can document different aspects of your company and make it more streamlined and predictable, and predictable service to the customer and all this kind of stuff. And so what I've done, the newsletters used to be pretty long, as in maybe 2,000 words. I've cut it down to 400 words because I've noticed that I'm getting literally hundreds of newsletters now, and it's just way too much to read. And so people are losing, I don't read them, and they're losing their opportunity to educate me. And I'm thinking, so one of the questions I have is, once a week too often? Because I've been doing this every week. And I don't know, you know, everybody in here would have an opinion, but I need to ask the receivers of the newsletter, is this too often? So I can get some feedback from them.
Okay. There's one thing about people, and you've got to know this, and they don't know what they want. Okay? It's a very important factor to notice, to note. They don't know what they want. And so we've tried this out with our members. We've asked them time and time and time again, what do you want? And they say, And then you never get a response. They do know what they don't want. So as soon as you give it to them, they go, I hate that. Okay, now we got liftoff. Okay, so what you do is just put in stuff that you expect that they would or would not want, and when they're sick of it, they'll complain. That's how you know. Okay, so that's a good point.
One of the things that you recommended somewhere along the line, somewhere, is about putting a complaint department or words to that effect on every page, and
yes.
I have done that. And I've noticed that people will go to that page, but they go somewhere else.
Yes.
They're not filling in the information. So
yes.
I need to maybe offer an incentive.
That's
for
right.
Feedback.
What Mike is talking about is on every single page that we have, and we'll do this offline as well. I want to stress it's both online and offline, is we have a bug of the month. And if you complain, then you get $50. One person every month gets $50 worth of product. So guess what people do? They complain. And they complain. And we get like 3-5 complaints a day. Sometimes we get 35 to 70 in a month. When you've got a 600-page website, you make a lot of mistakes.
Oh, okay. Bug of the month.
Bug of the month. So they actually, they'll write in and they'll say, I hope this qualifies for the bug of the month. And some of them will say, there's my big there's the big thing, now I qualify for it. So that's fun too. But we decide who qualifies for it. Okay? You want to keep going, Mike?
Well, I'd say I was just looking at the last question. How would you put in systems to measure opt-in? As I was mentioned to you a few minutes ago, people have been showing up at my website and downloading everything, and they don't leave a trace of who they are. So I need to put a hook in there to get the important information, at least their email address, if not their name, last name, and all this other stuff, so I can begin to get geographics and demographics and all this kind of stuff, because right now I'm not capturing that information. It's available. They can do that, but they're not doing that.
If you
What I think I'm hearing you say is if you make it register only to get the information, you give them a taste, and then when they click on the click, they either register or they have to log in or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
If people aren't willing to do that, they're not worth the time.
That's right, and that's qualification. And we covered that in one whole hour in the 16-week course, which you've
right.
which many of you may or may not have attended. There are 16 one-hour sessions at online at psychotactics.com/, what was it? Masterclass, and you can't get in unless you
register.
Okay,
right.
And now it's only up there. We've still not taken it down. We'll keep it for 2 days after this class.
And if
you haven't done it yet, you
just. No, I've gotten most of it.
Okay, 3 days. 3 days we'll keep it after the masterclass. 3 days. And then you can download all that information. There are e-books. There's a wealth of information there. So 3 days. It says the power of qualification. Colette, who's talking right now, actually used the power of qualification, disqualified most of her clients, and now she has more business than she's had for a while.
Yeah, I have, in terms of like dollar volume and quality of business.
Just a sec. She keeps speaking. Okay, Colette, just very briefly talk about the qualification that you've used.
The first couple of, in fact, I think it was the first teleclass, actually.
It was the first one, yeah.
That talked about pre-qualifying your clients, and I kind of had one of those, you know, light bulb moments and realized that pretty much most of the people, one of the reasons I'd been struggling so much with the clients I had was because they were the wrong kind of clients, and I hadn't realized that before. And so and that may seem silly, but I thought I wanted those people, but I realized through the teleclass I actually didn't, and that they were burning up a lot of my energy and I wasn't getting enough return from them. And so I sort of sat down and said, okay, you know, obviously what I need to do is dump people, took a deep breath and dumped the people who were sucking energy and not, you know, worth it. And that actually left me with very few people. And so things were lean for a while. This is a short version of the story. Things were lean, lost a lot of sleep, panicked very much, sweated. And then it started turning around. And what's happened ultimately is that my client list is building up again. I'm getting calls again. I'm getting emails. I'm getting projects. And I think of the people who have contacted me in the last 2 weeks, because this is when it just sort of started happening again, I've had one person not get back to me about continuing with a project. And the average billing that I'm going to get from each of these clients is easily 3 times what I was getting from the average billing of each client before. So the quality of the client base has gone up, and they're a lot less hassle. I'm getting people who understand the value of what I do, who are willing to pay for it, and who have budgeted to pay for it. And this is not what was happening before. It was like pulling teeth to work with these people before, and now they're easy. They're great.
Yeah. While I take the mic across, let me just also tell you that those 1,700 people that signed up, what if I charge them $1 per session? So only $16 for 16 hours. How many people do you think would have signed on? Half? Okay, so half. So let's do the math, because everything boils down to numbers, right? So out of 1,700, if we had 850 people pay $16, how much is that? Just say a lot. It's a lot, because it's a lot of money. It's over $10,000. You may not understand this, but those free workshops actually cost us a lot of money. You had to put in lines for 500 people, and that costs money. And then you may not understand this because you've not reached this level in terms of web downloads. But when 1,700 people download 10 megabytes from your server, your ISP freaks out, and they start charging you for the downloads. So that's the whole concept, okay? So you understand it's not free from... Nothing you ever do is free. Because all your information has taken you thousands of dollars and thousands of hours to put together. So you want to put that opt-in. You were saying something, Jeff.
Well, I want to say a lot of the frustration I have, not necessarily with the class, but it seems more geared towards people with clients rather than retail. Like, the whole world is my client, and I want them all. And I really don't want to get rid of some of them. I think Sid probably has some of the same ideas, or maybe he has a comment on, you know, how far do we want to qualify retail clients in the sense that what I really want them to do is I want to be in their face. I want to FaceTime with them every week. So
okay.
One of the things that we're going to give away is like recipes. One of the big things for marketing to women, wine to women, is they don't care about that much about the ratings of a wine. They're more food oriented on wine. So we're going to do recipes and, you know, put together a cookbook and go on and on and on. What?
Okay. So you're a website, right?
And we're a retail website, and I want lots of traffic.
Okay. We'll get Stu first because he's closest.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about I'm not sure, Jeff, you want everybody. Excuse me. It's costing you money to reach people, and do you really want the person that's satisfied with a $2 bottle of wine? Do you really want Joe Sixpack who's going to drink beer regardless?
That's one thing. The second thing is what Jeff might have not realized is that our company, is retail. We do exactly what he does, and we do it every day. So we're still qualifying clients, and I'll tell you how the sequence of qualifying is. I'll just get to you, Steve. What they do is they have information free. However, they have a big volume of information which is free, after which they don't get anything. If they don't subscribe, if they don't qualify themselves. And then when they get to the next level, which is they qualify themselves, they get the newsletter on a regular basis. So they're actually saying, we are interested in you. People need to say that. Then they move to the next level, and they keep getting the newsletter, after which they get told that they have to buy the brain audit. Okay? When they buy the brain audit, they've qualified themselves again by buying. It's opt-in every time, and value. Then they get told that you have to join 5000 BC, which is the membership. Now, to qualify for membership, you have to buy the brain audit, and you have to fill in a form, and you have to pay the membership. You don't do one of the three, you don't get membership. What do you think people do?
All three.
So they qualify themselves. Okay. In that qualification form, they tell us what they want, what they don't want. But they have qualified. It's the harder you make it for people to get to you in a nice way, the more they qualify themselves. And they say, I deserve to be getting this. And you need to have that pride in you and that value of content, and you'll see that you'll get the results. It'll change dramatically. Your list will change to big buyers instead of lots of small buyers. Oh, Steve first.
You're talking about the two ends of the same spectrum, and this goes back to the spectrum of consulting and then sort of training in the middle and then leverage at the end. There's an inverse proportionality here. I'm assuming that what Colette does is probably very one-on-one, very time-intensive, and you definitely want high qualification there. But at the lower end of the pyramid, when you've got just a turnkey retail thing, you know, that's ready for anybody to buy, you want low qualification. I mean, you know, when you put out a book and it's in the bookstore, there's no qualification because anybody can walk in and buy the book. You know, it depends on, you know, the proportion of how much of your time is taking up. If you get to the point where you're, you know, I'll fly to your company and give you a personal one-on-one consultation for, you know, how to wine and cater all of your company events. You know, you don't want every schmo in the world calling you for that. You want high qualification.
Okay,
there,
just let's stop this for a second. I'll tell you one thing which everyone can get for free, okay? And it's called an email address, right? Anyone can schmooze into Hotmail or Yahoo. So remember a company that recently made it very hard for you to get an email address?
Yeah, Google.
They call it Gmail. Google, okay? So in a world which is everyone, they actually made you qualify for it, and that's the beauty of it. So understand that you can, even in a world where everyone is giving you something, if you structure your package differently, that's the packaging. And then you make them want it. That's the difference. Okay, Colette, and then we're out. Can you pass the mic?
I was going to say that there are a couple of things that go along with that retail thing. It isn't different in that you do want people to qualify themselves on some level. And the fact is that someone who has bought from you on any level, if you make him pay $1 for it, they're going to place a value on what you're offering. And once they place a value on what you're offering, it is that much easier for you to sell to them a second time. Every single person in this room is much more likely to buy something. If Sean comes out with a new book, every single person in this room is much more likely to buy that new book than if we had not paid to be here. And that's, you know, that's an obvious example. But if you even ask them to place a value of some kind, even if it's a low value like a dollar, or in the case of Gmail, where you had to be considered to get free email, you know, they said, well, this is going to be a premium thing. And the fact that Yahoo then came out with the 100 meg storage was in response to that, because they were losing people who were lining up for Gmail. And Gmail had all kinds of hoops for people to jump through, and people were still backed up trying to get in because the perceived value was so much higher that everybody wanted it. So you have to place some kind of value on what you're offering them, and you'll get people who are more likely to buy from you then.
You should sign up to 5000 BC. She said, if I sign you up to something. There's no if here, is there? I mean, there's a when I sign you up to something. You're clear on that, aren't you? Everyone is clear on that. It's not a if. You don't want a if your customer buys into you. You want when your customer buys into you. There is no doubt that I will sell to you, because, as we'll cover, it's a very vital part of your growth. Now, I forgot what I was saying. One last minute, because we have to go for a break.
Okay.
We have to go for a break.
One of the things I've been trying to do for years is build my subscriber list, and it was growing very slowly. And finally, we got smart and put a box, because we had a downloaded product. It was free. It was popular for the senior executives of corporations. And we just had subscribed to our free newsletter, and it was already checked. They had to uncheck it. And instead of asking them to subscribe, they automatically subscribed. We got their information. Out of 100 people in the first 3 days that downloaded the product, to unsubscribe themselves, just took off the check. And the rest of them have been buying stuff. They've been coming to our teleforums, and they've been following. Get your subscribers. Subscribers equal revenue.
Qualification doesn't mean money. Qualification just means hard to get. Yeah. However you make it hard to get is your business.
Yeah.
You can say it's hidden, whatever. The point is they have to qualify themselves in some way, so you make it hard to get. Because as soon as I say you cannot have it, you say, I want to have it. Okay, with that we go for a break, and we'll come back exactly 15 minutes. What is 15 minutes from now? 22:11. Okay,